Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Let's get him on the show.
I'd love to, but I don't know if he's a real big sports fan, but
we'll see. Does it really matter?
No, it doesn't. You're on the show.
You crippled him emotionally, and it's gone viral, his face. I mean, all the times, all the things that you've ever done. And listen, I backed it, I laughed at, but I've never seen a look of hurt on somebody's face during this show.
You cannot backpedal, Don. Your hamstrings aren't that strong.
Nice backpedal. Hamstrings must be pretty strong after that.
You were laughing to the point
I
that
just
you almost
apologized.
Beat yourself.
It was hilarious, and I laughed because I'm a human being. It is the most devastating shot anybody has taken on anyone in the history of the show.
This is the Michael K. Show.
You are like Jordan.
And Peter's Isaiah Thomas.
We're on the same team. That's the difference. You know?
We're kind of used to Michael just not being the complete team player that he should be.
Yeah, you think?
On 98.7 ESPN.
You know what bothers me about that rejoin is that every Wednesday at this time, Trey catches up on the show with that rejoin.
That's right.
So he's probably sitting there right now thinking, wow, K is really a jackwagon.
Correct.
So let's bring him in and see if that's in fact what he's thinking. Trey Wingo of Golic and Wingle in the morning. Back on TV, by the way, I saw today, which is always good news
nice,
to see that pretty
really?
Face. Yep. And he joins us now. Hi, Trey.
Yeah, it only took us like 3 months, but we're good. We're back. I do love your rejoins because I'm always trying to decipher what started it and how it got to where it is. So is there any information I need to know about what I just heard?
He was kind of vicious with me yesterday, okay, throughout
Who
the show.
Don was?
No, Don's a joy. This was Peter.
Okay.
He was unleashed for some reason. So then I started talking about how I really like the show Blank's Creek. We can't say the first name because it gets dumped.
Lipschitz Creek.
Lipschitz
Kimmel,
Creek.
Kimmel said it last night.
So. Mushroom Creek.
Right. So and I said, we should have Dan Levy on the show. He's brilliant. And Peter said, we should get him on the show. And I said, I don't know if he knows sports. And Peter said, what does that matter? And said, you know, the internal thing in your head, I started to think, yeah, he's really been mean to me all game. So I said, well, obviously, you're on the show, so it doesn't matter if you know sports.
Boom. Yeah. Wow.
And just think of just the most hurt face a human being can have mm-hmm. was the expression on Peter's face, like mm-hmm. sheer hurt.
Yeah.
And the fact that that clip has been watched over 100,000 times on Twitter,
viral.
I think that's also bothered him as well.
Peter, what your response?
I mean, listen, the proof is in the pudding. You know, I mean, this is a bad guy. You heard, Trey, everything you needed to hear. Which is a guy just taking because listen, it's one thing for us to fight. We bicker. I make fun. You know, I will say jokes like Gary Cohen's the best play-by-play guy in New York. I'm joking.
Wah, wah.
It's clearly a joke, right?
Gary Cohen's great. So when you say that, it has some legitimacy to it.
But obviously, I'm joking.
When he says it, he's kidding.
Right. I'm saying it to you. Obviously, it's a joke. Now, what Michael did was he tapped into a real criticism that exists. You know, Peter doesn't know sports. We hate Peter. We don't want him on the show. He's a no-good, hip-hop-loving, whatever they call me. And a big thing is I don't know sports. And so for Michael to go up and in, Trey, I almost didn't do the show today. I almost stayed home, and I am home.
Peter!
Yeah.
Peter!
No.
Buckle up, Buttercup. Come on, I got you. I got you. We'll work through this together.
Yeah.
We're gonna find a way. We're gonna turn that frown upside down. Come on.
No, maybe you and I'll do a show together. Maybe I can just get out of this joint, you know, go someplace I'm appreciated.
Please do that, Trey. It's a great idea.
Well, my nephew just wants to say hello before
Hi Declan
get started. Declan, yeah. Say hello.
Hello.
There you go.
Say hi,
hello,
Trey.
Declan.
That's all I can get.
That's all he's
By
got.
The way, Declan, can I just say Declan is an amazing name.
It's a nice name, just, right?
It there's something about the hard C in the middle of that, Declan. I mean, you can really drip some emotion off the word Declan. You know what I mean?
You know what's really sad about the whole Declan story with Don? I'm going to let you in on a little dirt here, Trey.
All right.
Declan is Don's nephew. And, right. I mean, Declan was the apple of Don's eye for 3 years. I mean, all he did was talk about Declan. He lavished attention and praise on Declan. Then he had his twins. It's like Declan doesn't even exist. And Declan sees what's happening.
Declan sees through the facade?
Of course he does. Uncle Don's not as loving anymore.
He makes the Peter face routinely now.
Don, your response.
The look of hurt.
Don, your response.
It's all true. Well, how else is it supposed to go?
Uncle Don!
Sometimes you go from first to third.
I'm thinking baseball's still going to be played. I don't think that two sides that have so much invested in this would be so dense as to just walk away and say, well, we can't come to an agreement. I think this is all part of negotiating. Your thoughts?
Don, I'm going to be optimistic as well, but it drives me crazy that these two sides can't figure out what everyone else has sort of been able to figure out. First of all, do we need not to stand and give Gary Bettman a standing O here for figuring this thing out first? I mean, we had him on this morning, and I think that they've done an amazing job. Now, a couple of things made it easier for them. Number one, season's basically over, so they're trying to finish much in the same way the NBA is. And the money part of it isn't really much of an equation because it is what it is. They split the revenue. So that makes it a little easier. But I have to give Gary Bettman all the credit and the NHL all the credit in the world for being the first of the big four or five sports leagues in this country, however you want to look at it, to figure out a cohesive plan. And, you know, we had Michelle Roberts of the NBA PA basically say to the NBA, my guys are ready. Let's go. So they're trying to get that thing done. And yet here we have baseball doing the same thing they always do, and it's driving me a little crazy. Look, I get it. First of all, that offer by the owners was ridiculous, but don't take the bait. Don't go down the road you did before when you talked about a revenue split being a salary cap and all that kind of stuff. Just sit together and work it out. I don't want to hear about it. I just want to know if you're going to get it done or not, and it's driving me crazy.
And forever, and this has always been the attitude of both the owners and the players, when it's all said and done, they'll come back. But they're really testing. You know, they're really going into waters that you have no idea how deep it is. You know, when you're talking about, even when they come back, Trey, you're going to be going against NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, NASCAR and golf will be well underway. Training camps are going to be opening up. You know, back in 81, even 94, you know, baseball kind of led the charge. But now, you know, it's going to be, you don't want to be the afterthought. And you can't test those fans. Yeah, the diehards will come back, but maybe a percentage goes down. And now you find yourself in a couple of years as the third sport instead of the second sport.
For a sport that was desperate for viewers to begin with. You know, I mean, look, I just wish that somehow, some way, the leaders in baseball on the owner's side and the player's side would realize, guys, we all look like, to use your term, Michael, jack wagons right here. Because if we're in this situation where we still have this pandemic and we're trying to figure this all out and people are beginning to open up their states and things are beginning to happen, and it may turn out to be the money and not the virus that is the problem, that's just such a horrendous look on every level. And the fact that they don't understand that or don't seem to care that that's the perception is really troubling.
And what really troubles me the most, and I've said this over and over on the show, and our listeners are probably sick of me saying it, there's no need to legislate this in public. This is not an election. It's not a vote by the public. So why do the owners want to make their product, the players, look bad? And why do the players want to make themselves look greedy? Just keep it behind closed doors. What good does it do to have this leaked out? And I asked somebody that today, and the person said, you know, baseball writers are really good at this. They can dig stuff out. Stuff doesn't get leaked unless you want it leaked.
You are 100% correct. Let's take a look at another recent example of that, right? The story came out that Dak Prescott turned down $175 million and wanted $45 million in the last year of the deal. Adam Schefter turned out to say, hey, that's not really accurate. But that was out there for a reason. And it was painted as if Dak Prescott was being greedy and asking for way too much. Well, that didn't come from Dak. It came from somebody else. So that everything that comes out like that comes out with someone with a specific agenda in mind. And I'm with you. Look, it might have been easier because there aren't as many eyeballs on hockey and there aren't as many interested parties for a variety of reasons. But they figured it out in quiet, right? They just sort of going along with their business. We didn't hear much about it. Then, boom, we have this plan, phases, hub cities, everything's ready to roll. And we still have baseball doing the same things, but handling their business the same way they did in 94 and 95, and that's unexcusable.
Yeah, and you can make the case, sorry, that it's not as covered as much as baseball, but you know in Canada it is. So if it was going to get leaked, it was going to get leaked. And you're right, listen, most of the checks have already been cut. Their regular season is pretty much over in both basketball and hockey, so it was a little bit easier. But, boy, it's really frustrating, Trey, it is, because, you know, I think in certain segments of this country, you may disagree, that basketball maybe has surpassed baseball as far as interest.
I think it has.
So I don't even think it'll be debatable in 5 years if they don't play this year. And NASCAR is getting unbelievable numbers. That was a sport that was, from what I understand, near death's door.
Yep.
And they're getting 6 million to watch on national television and 2 million watching on cable, three races in 8 days. So think of the exposure you'd get just to get on the same page.
To that point, a golf match with two guys in their 40s in golf carts and football players became the most highest watched golf event ever in the history of cable. Okay? That's how desperate we are as a fan base to see something that resembles live sports and competition. And for baseball owners and players not to understand that part of the equation is also inexcusable. What do we always hear? Well, these are unprecedented times. These are strange times. We've never been through this before. Understand that should frame everything that you either leak out, say publicly, or put on paper. That's the framework for everything. That's the parameter, the prism by which everything is going to be viewed. And it seems like baseball is not doing that right now, and it's to their own detriment.
You love football. It loves you back. 4th and 15 instead of the onside kick.
Great question.
Do you like it? Now, Devin McCourty has come out and said it rewards the team that's losing. He said, which shouldn't be a reward. So what's your take?
First of all, rules in football have basically made the onside kick a non-starter, right? It was like the extra point. Excuse me, before they moved it back to a 33-yard attempt. It was basically a non-play. It was almost automatic. Onside kicks, because of the rule changes, stacking the side and getting the running start, you can't do that anymore.
Right.
So essentially, that's not really a play. The conversion rate used to be around 18-19%, and these last couple of seasons, it's been down right around 10%. So it's really a non-play anymore. So I have no problem with putting something in that's exciting. But what Devin McCourty said, and I think the most important thing is, for me, is if we're going down this road, and I got no problem with it, I want it to be judged like a Hail Mary. In other words, we always see a lot of contact on a Hail Mary, mm-hmm. and basically someone has to be undressed for that to be a penalty. What I don't want is there to be a 4th and 15 and a 5-yard defensive holding, 5-yard penalty, but automatic first down.
Right.
If we're going to go down this road, which I'm totally cool with, just make sure you call it the way you would call an end-of-game Hail Mary situation.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, the way this sport's going right now with some of the athletes we have at quarterback, 4th and 15 is not impossible. It's not.
Andy Reid has already said, I'm good with it. I got my guy. I mean, you know, they did 3rd and 15 in the Super Bowl, and it came with 50-plus yards, the longest play of the entire game. So, yeah, look, it's the way the game is played, too. Let's be honest. The way the game is officiated has been changed. It's much more advantageous for the offense to have those opportunities. But that's why McCourty is probably ringing the bell. My only thing is, don't call the ticky-tack fouls. If you're in that situation that you're so desperate, you're going for 4th and 15 on your own 25, there better be some sort of level of interference along the lines of what we all know should have been the penalty in the NFC Championship game a couple of years ago.
All right, so our ESPN computer yesterday spit out what they think some football teams are going to do. Let's look locally here, Trey. So they have the Jets, like 6.7 wins, and the Giants, 6.1 wins. Jets have a 24% chance to make the playoffs. Giants, I think, 12. Are you in line with that? Do you think that's right? Are you smarter than the computer?
No one's ever smarter than the computer. We've all learned that. Open the pod bay door, Hal. But I do think that the AFC East is really weird, right? Like, I think by far and away, the Bills right now on paper have the best team, and I don't think it's even close. Then you can really, if you wanted to, stack him in almost any order you wanted. I would obviously put the Patriots there next, just because until I see Bill Belichick completely fail, I'm not going to believe it. And then the Dolphins and Jets are really a toss-up on how you want to interpret it. I think that, what were they, 7-6 the Jets were with Darnold last year when he was in the lineup? They've got some things that are going to help them there. But my God, what the Dolphins were able to do, basically when their ownership said, we're going to try and lose as much as we can to get Tua Tagovailoa. And they still go out and fight the way they did for Brian Flores and that coaching staff. And now you do get Tua Tagovailoa, and you've improved the defensive side of the ball as well. I'm fascinated by Miami this year, guys. I really am, because obviously I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. I love the pick of Tua Tagovailoa. But more importantly, I love the program and the ideas that Brian Flores and that company have people buying into. And I think that's the most important thing you can have as a coaching staff, players buying into you, even when it was a situation where basically the stated goal of the team from above was to lose.
You have any idea what Gase's problem might be with Le'Veon Bell? I mean, now we're hearing maybe they're interested in Freeman. He looked like he was a team player, that he did everything he needed to do. I felt he was underused. You know, now they might get two running backs when they really what do you think it is?
I think that Adam values the position differently than the guys that signed him to the contract, and that colors everything. And if they can find a way to unburden themselves from that contract, I think that's the thing that they're probably most looking at. Look, you're right. Le'Veon didn't have a great year last year. There's no question about that. But he wasn't a problem like he was in Pittsburgh the year before he sat out the entire season.
Well, he had the least carries he's ever had also. Yeah.
Right, and he wasn't an issue. I think, you know, it came out right away after he got there that there was a discrepancy about why they would have given that contract to Le'Veon Bell. I think that colors everything. I think he believes if he can get out of that contract and have him go somewhere else, that frees the team up to be more economical at that position by several players and give them more cap space.
But I understand that, all right? But I don't know why you take it out on him. He's on your roster, so you may as well use him. Why take the cap hit to try to get rid of him? You know, it's almost like my mom paid way too much for the car, so I'm not going to borrow it from her. I mean, that doesn't make sense. I have him. Now, I would agree. I think that contract's probably way too much for a running back at that stage of his career. But once it's already been done, you know, you have him. You can't get rid of him without taking a cap hit. Use him.
Well, you're right. Look, I guess the one thing I would be saying is if they could find a trade partner, that would mean that cap hit would go to the team that absorbs the contract. Now, I don't know if there's a team out there to do that. You know, you're right. Cutting him makes no sense because then you're just left with a dead cap space. But if you could find a way, if you could find a trade partner in some way, shape, or form, then that cap hit goes on the team that absorbs the contract, and maybe that's what they're trying to do.
Trey, we love you. Hope you stay safe.
I want to ask Trey something.
Well, what do you got?
Yes,
go.
Peter, what do you got?
Hey, Trey, how are you? Peter Rosenberg here from the Michael Kay Show.
Oh, Peter, it is great to hear your voice.
Thank you, Trey. I think you're a tremendous broadcaster. Are you any – first of all, have you been watching any replays of old games as they come on TV? If so, which ones do you enjoy? If not, which would you like to see? I'm just curious to see where Trey Wingo, the sports fan, the kid in you is.
You know, it's funny. Every once in a while at night, I'll just scroll through, and there's a myriad of replay of games. Like we had Game 7 of the World Series between the Indians and the Cubs on the other night. That was kind of fun. I'll just go through every night. I'm like, oh, I remember that game. I'll turn on and watch for a few minutes. I'll just go through whatever the guide is, and when I'll see what the game is, I'm like, yeah, I'll check that out for a few minutes. I remember what was going on Monday night. We had the Monday night game that was in San Diego, where Mike Tomlin, with, by the way, Le'Veon Bell, went for it on the last play of the game on a 2-point conversion to win instead of kick the extra point and go into overtime, and that was a really gutsy call. It's just, you know, it's like we're just jonesing for competition. It's like, oh, I remember that. I remember thinking, what is he doing right there? That was fun. So that's the part I've enjoyed more than anything.
And last thing, yesterday I read literally like 8 different potential things for a Mike Tyson exhibition bout. I mean, the one that Michael Kay most wants, supposedly Tyson Fury says that he has been reached out to by Tyson's camp. I saw a Shannon Briggs, who's always stayed in great shape.
Oh my God.
A potential Shannon Briggs fight. Is there one you want to see, and do you think this thing will actually happen?
Peter, it seems to me you're a fan of pugilism. Would that be correct?
That's correct. Tyson specifically, okay. But yes, all of it.
Mike Tyson looks great, and his body looks amazing, and he is ripped, and clearly becoming a vegan has worked well for him. But as my good friend Jeremy Schaap pointed out, let's not forget how his career ended, the last few fights for Mike Tyson.
Oh, I was at those fights. They were not good.
You know, it was not great, Bob, as they say on Mad Men, and the idea that at 53, a few years away, taking on some of these people, it's going to turn out any better. I love Mike Tyson, maybe the most dominant puncher I've ever seen in my lifetime, him and George Foreman, but in different ways, obviously. But, you know, everyone is looking at what he is now and how great he looks. But it's one thing to hit somebody, but it's a totally another different thing when they're hitting you back. And I'm concerned that it may end up very poorly if indeed he does get back into the ring. And I certainly don't want that for him.
Well, one thing that I'd say back to you is George Foreman didn't look great in his first go around, and he was out for a long time, came back and won a championship.
No,
he was a little younger.
George, 10 years.
George was a little younger, and he was just a behemoth. You know what I mean? Tyson. The most amazing thing about Tyson was his power as a smaller guy. You know, and that was the thing that was always amazing about Mike. How that translates to 53, I'm not so sure.
We will talk to you next Wednesday, Trey. Thank you.
Bye, Trey.
I'm hopeful that I'll be talking to all three of you next week.
I will see.
Group therapy. What do you say?
We'll see. Don't bet on it.
We're good.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, and on your smart speaker by asking it to play ESPN New York 98.7.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
For more than 80 years, Nissan has been there for you. And now is no different. We're offering flexible payment options for current NMAC customers. Our service departments are here to help. And for future owners, we're now offering more help. Deferred payments for 3 months on 11 models. Plus, we'll cover your payments for up to 2 additional months. Plus, get 0% APR financing for up to 60 months on 10 models. This is help when you need it. Visit NissanUSA.com today to learn more. Nissan, innovation that excites. Offers available to well-qualified buyers on purchase of an eligible 2020 Nissan from new dealer stock when financed through Nissan Motor Acceptance Corporation. Subject to NMAC credit approval and max term limit. Subject to residency restrictions. NMAC special APR cash amount is capped and varies by vehicle from $500 to $2,000, which customer can apply toward up to 2 monthly payments. Customer is responsible for all payments. Delayed payment must begin 90 days from date of contract. Accrual of interest commences from contract date and consumer responsible for accrued interest. Dealer participation may vary. Call 1-888-858-8319 for offer details, including list of eligible models and service availability. Offers end 6-1-20.